Hey, folks. How's everybody doing? This is Vinay, the host of the Shiny Happy People podcast. Welcome back. Welcome back. To all you new listeners out there, welcome. Thank you for finding me, finally. Okay. Today, we have a guest interview with a gentleman called Kapil Arora. If you read Kapil's bio, the guy's done about 20 plus years in the banking, insurance industry, has worked in leadership roles. Very recently, he was the CEO of a company in the jewelry business. And you might be wondering, okay, what's this interview going to be all about? But that's not actually what Kapil and I are going to talk about. Kapil is also an Ironman runner, an ultra marathoner, has done the Guinness World Record in running at Pangong Lake. He was in the first edition last year. And the guy, after doing 20 plus years in the corporate world, in 2023, just gave it all up and did a career pivot and started his own company, which does events, help organize marathons, runs the core setup of organizing high quality corporate marathon events across India. He's doing a whole bunch of really, really cool stuff. So the guy went from being a corporate soldier like so many of us and having a little hobby and a passion on the side to making that hobby and passion his full career now. Complete career shift. So we're going to get into understanding Kapil, what motivated him, how he got into this, his whole journey of fitness. He's written a couple of books as well. It'll be a really interesting conversation. So stay tuned right after this. Okay, folks, so we've got with us Mr. Kapil Arora. Kapil, welcome to the podcast, my friend.
Thanks, Vinay, and thanks for having me here.
So I was telling our listeners just before this that we have with us somebody who's had multiple avatars in their life, started their career in the financial industry, doing sales and being products and doing a whole bunch of very interesting stuff, and then suddenly went off into the new. So let's talk about each piece of your life before we get into your Ironman, triathlons, your latest avatar. So tell us a bit about the early start of Kapil. What's the first part of your life?
The first part of life was pretty, I should say easy, but unpredictable kind of life. I was born in Jammu, Kashmir. I was born in Jammu, basically. And then I did my studies there, and my dad felt that I need to be thrown out of that city and I should be going to a bigger city to make a bigger impact. And he sent me to Pune to do my MBA after my graduation. So I came to Pune, I did my graduation, my MBA, and then I got a job in Gujarat. I was there for a few years, and then finally came to Mumbai in year 2000. And then I started my career as a banker, and banking was something very different what I thought it would be. I thought I got into a bank and I'll have to do a lot of serious work. But then I realized it was all sales and there was nothing called serious work. You know, all you have to do is to sell life insurance and credit card and bank account and home loans and car loans. That's all. But it was a great journey. I was there with ICICI Bank for like 15 years. But while I was in the bank, while I was learning a lot, growing a lot, I was, you know, there was something which was not growing, and that was health. You know, I should say health was absolutely not on my priority list. Nowhere.
Especially with the work culture of working long days, weekends and everything, right?
Absolutely. It was nowhere there, you know. We used to have parties and we used to have the sales meetings and we used to have late nights and a lot of drinking and smoking. So I used to smoke a lot and, you know, drinking. So everything was going on. It was like a, you know, full on in the job, but then enjoying it and then doing my best. I was growing there. But then health was definitely taking a toll till the time I realized I was like 34, 35 years and married, had a kid. And then I realized, boss, it's too late. I mean, I have to do something about my health. I was going, you know, I was putting on weight and I was smoking and things are not going in good term. So there I started.
So what was your catalyst, Kapil, if you don't mind me? What was that moment of awareness? Usually, most of the people I know, either a personal health issue they had, or they saw someone in their family or a friend who had a traumatic health event, and that sort of wakes them up, right? What was your wake-up point?
Yeah, so I mentioned in my TED talk also the other day that, you know, it's a real-life incident what happened. That so I stay in Andheri, and I was going on a sales call, which was in Worli in an office, and I was supposed to go on the fourth floor. The client was on the fourth floor, and for some reason, the lift was not working there. And I thought, okay, there's no option but to climb the stairs. And, you know, I was like a typical sales guy wearing the tie and the suit and climbing the stairs. By the time I reached third floor, I was panting. I could not, you know, I had to sit down on the stairs, because I could not climb the fourth floor. And I was about 34, 35 years old. Then I realized, oh my God, where am I? I know climbing fourth floor is looking like a big task to me. What the hell is happening? That day, something, I mean, you can say some wake up call, something happened and I thought, boss, it's time to change. That day I decided it's very time to change.
Mm. And then you gave up smoking first, I'm guessing. That's usually
it took long time. I'll be honest. It's not an easy thing to leave. You know, it's because something which you're used to for like 15, 20 years, you can't just leave it one day.
Yeah.
It took long time. It took, then I started running, and because I was doing something as important or as strenuous as running, I realized that both these things cannot go hand in hand. So slowly and steadily, the smoking habit went down less, and slowly, maybe around 10 years back, I had like, I gave it up 100%. It took time, you know, there's no, it was not a heroic thing. I decided one day and I left next day. It doesn't happen like that. It, you know, we are human beings. It takes time to build discipline, mental strength to do something as crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. And that started your journey into fitness and this thing, but you still kept working in the corporate world, right? You were, it was more an interest, or it was more a lifestyle choice that you made.
Yeah.
When did you get into, you know, the really intense stuff, your triathlons and your Ironmans? And when did you get into that really serious marathon?
Yeah, so I started with a few half marathons, the Tata Mumbai Marathon, a half marathon. Then I graduated to a full marathon. So I did about 7, 8 full marathons. And I was always looking for challenges. I said, what next? You know, I've done half marathon, I've done full marathon. What next? Then I went to do some marathons across the world. I went to Greece, I went to Australia, I went to Brazil, all these places to do. That was also done. And then I was looking for a bigger challenge. The bigger challenge was ultra marathon was like this marathon in called Comrades, which happened in South Africa. So you have to run 90 kilometers from one point to another point, and it's a timed race, so you cannot screw it up. You have to run for entire 12 hours from one space to the other space. So when I enrolled for that race, which is like a 90 kilometers race, I realized I'm actually getting very serious into this. Because the training schedule for that race was like very demanding. We had to do about 120, 130 kilometers a week. That was the mileage we were supposed to do. Oh, and, you know, if you're doing this much mileage, means your mind share is taken away by that bigger event, right? But I was sleeping at like, you know, you'll not believe. I used to sleep at like 6:30, 7 o'clock on Saturday night. And I used to get up at like 1 o'clock and go to bandstand and run for like 70, 80 kilometers. You know, just imagine Saturday night, me, you know, 5 years back, I was a party guy. I used to go and drink on bandstand. And today I was running on bandstand for like 7, 8 hours, 80, 90 kilometers. It was a total transformation.
And you ran into those same people going home from the party at 6 a.m. while you were getting there to go running. Probably.
You know, you're absolutely right. I've mentioned that in my book also. That I realized, you know, this Taj Lands End, it's at Bandra.
I know it.
Okay.
Yeah, I know that.
So
one.
There used to be a very famous club. We used to go and party there. And then once I went for my long run, I actually went to use the loo at Taj Lands End. And they saw me in this running attire at like 2 o'clock. And those party folks were coming out. And I met some old friend and he said, "What the hell is happening? What the? We are partying and you are actually, what kind of clothes are you wearing? Where are you going at 2 o'clock?" And I said, "No, I'm starting my run because I've got a long 60 kilometers run today." I realized, boss, I was, you know, things are changing. Absolutely. There was a U-turn. Yeah.
I don't think it probably resonated for them with the haze of alcohol that they were under, right?
So. Absolutely. Absolutely. They said you're crazy. And that's all they said.
Right. So, yeah, that's interesting. So you started getting into all of this. And then what was your inspiration to write the book? Because you've written a couple of books now. And your first book, when did you decide to write it? What was the manifestation for that?
It was accidental, Vinay. I mean, I seriously, you know, a day it was raining in Mumbai crazily in July somewhere. And I was going to my office and, you know, it rains like nuts here sometimes, right? And then I realized I cannot reach my office because it was raining. It was all flooded, right? So I turned back my car and I could not go home because it was flooded again. So I just found one cafe and I thought, okay, let me sit here. And so I was sitting here and, you know, just observing things. And then I just took a pen and a paper and I started writing. I just started writing and I started writing about my own life, the way I've transformed, this transformation happened with me and why it happened and how it happened. I started writing my journey. So what I did, I took a plain piece of paper and I wrote down 10 chapters. I said, I'll make book one day and these would be the 10 chapters, right? That was the starting point. You know, those 10 chapters on one piece of paper. And then I found time to write more. And then fortunately, I found some people who are into publishing business and they used to give opportunity to the first time writers. And then there was some connect and I went, I met them and they said they got very excited with this idea of transformation, a person's life from what he was and what he did. So that was the thought and the book which I thought I'd write first. But then COVID happened, right? And then suddenly we all realized that we have a lot of time now because we were not going to office. And then because I realized I have a lot of time, this book was going on, but there was another book in my mind, somewhere brewing in my mind, that what about those small, small running tips, running mistakes, running issues which people have and they don't know who to call. So I started crafting a book which was called 21.1 Running Mistakes and how to correct them for peak performance. So I wrote down 21 chapters and I took every mistake and created a chapter out of it and solution. So there were two books running hand in hand. And I published 21.1 Running Mistake. It took me 1.5 months to write and publish. It was as fast, right? But the other book, my own journey, it's called Made Not Born. It took some time.
You're listening to the Shiny Happy People podcast with Vinay Kumar. Subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform. This podcast is sponsored by C2COD, your organizational development consulting partner, bringing people and strategy together. Follow us on LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook using the handle at C2COD. And get updates on our upcoming episodes.
The other question that I had, so that's your writing journey. And then I'm sure there would have been a point in time where you trying to travel, do these half marathons, full marathons, ultra marathons, started getting in the way of regular work. right? Or before it is, work gets in the way of running in your case. Or people say running gets in the way of work. For your case, work got in the way of running. And you took a break from your banking career and then went on. And when you and I met, you were the CEO of a jewelry company, right? So what was that transition all about?
So I was working in a bank, things were going good. And then I got an opportunity to work in a mutual fund company. So I was working with Reliance Mutual Fund. From ICICI Bank, I'd gone to Reliance Mutual Fund. And then somebody told me that I can make you a CEO. And I find it very exciting. And I said, okay, you'll not get many chance in your life that somebody calls you and say that they're going to make you a CEO of a company.
Right.
And it was a tough call, but I thought, why not? And maybe something's happening for a reason. So I said yes. And here I was. Suddenly, I became the CEO of a company. It just happened by chance, you can say, because they found me again. The connect was that they found me as a guy who's more into running and marathon. They were very passionate about the owner of this company, the Diamond Company.
Oh, wow.
And he wanted me to be a CEO. So somewhere this running thing actually took me all across the world in my career, in my life, everywhere.
So then you became the CEO of a diamond company in jewelry. You were doing your running. You're writing your book.
Yeah.
Were you getting any sleep, man? It sounds like a very big schedule.
Yeah, it was. I started researching a lot on how to manage my time well. And in fact, then I wrote a book on how to manage your time. Okay, because you're right. There were too many things happening. It was running, family, being a CEO, the job responsibilities, many things. So three things which I did, which sounds crazy, right? One, I stopped seeing television. 2 years, I never saw the TV.
Right.
Because I had no time to see the TV and I thought it's rubbish. And I used to hardly read newspaper or TV or something. And I was totally focused on my work, run, and writing. That's it. So I somewhere got cut off from many things which were not adding too much value to my life. And then, I could manage it. I think there's a way to manage it.
Yeah. So you have to cut something out. I think that's absolutely key aspect. And then you and I ran into each other last year in Ladakh at the half marathon. And you were still working full-time as the CEO. You had your new book out, The 21 Mistakes, etc. And then I think 6-7 months later, I was looking you up and then I discovered that you quit the corporate world and started your own. What was that decision? When did you say, I'm going to make this a full-time career going into this?
I think everything has its own, so to say, time limit. And while I was working and I was enjoying my journey as a CEO there, but I always wanted...
What you said, basically, everything's got an expiry date.
It expiry date happened. I mean, and I realized that if I have to, I'm very passionate about... See, I never liked the idea of sitting in a cubicle and working. Somewhere it was kind of suffocating, only focused on business, development, money. I want to do something larger than life. I wanted, honestly, to have some situation where I can contribute back to the society and a situation where I can, of course, monetize this entire thing so that there is a source of livelihood also. It's not only an NGO or just giving it back. So as an experiment, I was visiting my hometown, which is Jammu Kashmir, and one friend suggested that why don't you... there's a very beautiful place near Jammu Kashmir called Patni Top, which is a hill station. Let's do a marathon there. Nobody has done. I found it very exciting. I said, let's do it. We did it while I never left my job. I did that event. It was fairly successful event. Then we did another event in Mumbai. So I did 4-5 events while I was working. And then finally, I realized that, okay, I can build up this business. And then I left my corporate job. And then today I'm all in.
How did you convince the family that this is a great idea. I'm sure that must have been some very nice stakeholder management conversations with your family or with other relative friends who are saying, are you nuts? Are you crazy?
Yeah, that's why when I took time, you know, I didn't did it one fine day. I did four or five events, and then those four or five events, after five events, then I started making money out of this, and I realized how to monetize it and how to make decent living out of it. Then I took this call. So family was also convinced that it's not a very hasty call. It's a very thought of decision he's taken after 1.5 years of doing the groundwork. Right, so it was a you know, reasonably good decision.
So actually, if you think about it, right, you just essentially after putting in X number of years in the corporate world, getting to the CEO level, you decided to become an entrepreneur. That's really what it is. And if someone said, "Oh, you've become an entrepreneur doing something in financial services," nobody would have questioned it. But it's just that you picked something that was more a passion. It was an interest, and people start to say, "How do you monetize this?" Which, in an Indian context, I'm sure raised a lot more eyebrows than if you had just said, "I'm going to go start a mutual fund distributor agency." I don't think anyone would have said anything.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And what's the journey been like? It's been how long since you started now? It's
It's been
just over.
about 2 years now. We've done 11 events, and things are doing great now because we have.
But officially, since you started the company, I think it's only been about 7, 8 months, right?
Yeah,
Or
7, 8 months. We've done four events till then.
wow,
See, I realize
fantastic.
Bombay is a massive market. I mean, the market is so big that we can have an event every month because overall number of runners, number of people who are passionate about these activities, tons. And Bombay is a huge city, huge city. You know, we can do a marathon in every suburb. There are, you know, 200 suburbs here. It's that big, the crowd, the population. The whole point is, but how to make the event more successful in the sense you get more brands involved, you get corporates involved, you get, you have the quality of the event, which has to be very superior, very good event. It should not be a shabby event. You know, there was a time when we, in our last event, we had our partner was Starbucks. So we served Starbucks coffee to people. You know, we had food by served by Grand Hyatt who was serving the food. So that kind of experience we were delivering, you know. I think it's a great learning experience, but it's happening. I'm liking it.
And you get to apply all the business acumen, you're outdoors, which is what you want to
Absolutely.
be doing,
Yes.
and you get
Yes.
to be doing some of the really fun stuff that you are doing, get to travel as well. But you know, I'm also thinking as you were talking about it, your timing probably was spot on because the pandemic made so many more people conscious of health, being out there, physical fitness. You and I remember we talking, right? Just around the pandemic and post-pandemic, the number of runners club, biking, cycling, all that took off. So I think your timing was also perfect to be able to do it because the interest went
Absolutely.
up.
Yes.
So would you say that the whole running industry, and it is an industry, has become in India, you've been doing this for a while, has caught up to the rest of the world in terms of professionalism, events, the kinds of experiences that are there? Or are we still in India? Is there some room for us to catch up still?
See, sheer amount of people in India, okay, if you know, example in Tata Marathon, we have 60,000 people, right? And they have to close the gates, otherwise it can become 1 lakh people. You go and watch a cricket match in Eden Gardens, you have 1 lakh people. The sheer volume of people in India means that you have huge amount of business opportunity. Yeah, it can be scaled up. But having said that, the kind of professionalism, the kind of runners, the quality of runners, I mean, we are still growing. It will take time. It will take time. We are still trying to catch up with a lot of countries. The skill, the professionalism, the way the events happen in many other countries, we are still not there. Example, people still expect are very price sensitive in our country. When we go out and do marathons, okay, people are not very, very price sensitive. I told you, I was in Singapore. You know, they were paying 12,000 bucks if you convert an Indian currency for a marathon or a half marathon. But in India, 12,000 bucks is crazy. I mean, you cannot charge that much. You, for a 21K, you cannot charge more than 1700 bucks. That's a normal rate. Nobody is going to pay you 12,000 bucks for a half marathon. So, commercials, number of corporates which are involved, they are still not much here. We are still looking for larger corporate share, corporate money coming in, the way the corporate money is involved in, say, IPL. If you see IPL, why is IPL successful? Because a lot of big corporates, corporate money is pumping in, and those guys are heroes, the you know, the cricketers, and they've showered with tons and tons of money. We don't have those heroes in running as of now. You know, nobody knows the best runner in our country. There's no Virat Kohli kind of runner in our country who will have endorsements. You will not see a runner having endorsing and sending chips or, you know, coming on TV every day and selling some products. We don't have heroes here. It will take time. That is true.
And also the history behind it, right? For example, the Boston Marathon is the one I'm familiar with. Yeah. I think it's what now, 128 years of doing it. You have to be qualified to be able to run it. You've got to submit, pay the registration fee, so much. Yeah. And it's so professionally organized.
Of course.
The whole event. Whereas here, I think, don't you have a lot more recreational runners as well?
Yeah.
The actual qualifying, focusing on timings, that's a much smaller community.
Yeah.
So that 60,000, for example, in the Mumbai Marathon, how many of them are the real diehard runners? Probably very small. But every year you get a bunch of, hey, let's try it types.
Yeah. And people want to have good time. They want to have fun. You know, they want to have good Zumba, good music, good time there, you know.
Yeah.
And that's where more recreational runner, more corporate runners. A lot of people who are working in corporate, they want to go in groups. That, okay, everybody in the company is going, so we are also going. But they're not runners, but they want to be a part of the party, you know.
But that's great. We need more people in the field, right? Everyone's focusing on fitness. Nothing wrong with that. And I think that's a huge perspective, which is where a lot of the opportunity for you comes in, in terms of building the business as well. So is the focus of your organization going to be largely running, or are you going to get into other, of course, the ultra marathons, and are you going to get into non-running activities as well?
The name of my company is KA Sports and Events. The reason I kept it as sports and events, that because it's all about many things. I'm not restricting myself only to running. Essentially, sporting events. For example, we are conceiving a race in Goa, which is going to be a very unique race, which is called RSR. So it's like you go on the sea and on the beach, and you run for 1 kilometer on the beach, and you swim for 1 kilometer in the sea, and again you run. So it's run, swim, run. So it's a very different concept. Now, these kind of things happen in Australia. It's very famous race which happens in Australia. We're getting that in India. There is a race called Ocean Man, wherein you go to the ocean and swim for 10 kilometers in the ocean. If you do that, you get a title called Ocean Man. So it's a deep sea swimming ocean. So I'm exploring many other ideas apart from running. Right. Wow. So we are absolutely doing something crazy, you know, and doing something more than running.
And are you seeing a lot more interest from corporates to support? Of course, there are brands that are associated with active lifestyles, right? But are there other brands that are jumping on board as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think the kind of startups, the kind of brands in health space are amazing. I mean, they're phenomenal, like kind of a nutrition space, wearable space, you know, monitoring space, the online, even the gyms, right? I think the whole industry is developing at a very, very faster pace, because everybody sees value and everybody sees market. People are willing to spend money on their health today, right? So Definitely. I'm looking at doing something which has not been done in India and going to corporates. And by the way, I work very closely with the government of India. I am a Fit India ambassador. So I do a lot of programs which with union government. We do a lot of quiz contests. We have a lot of para athletes games which recently happened, Khelo India happening. So
Right.
the government is also creating the whole ecosystem of small events, nationwide events, statewide events happening across the country. And that's how the athletes will come in. So I'm
Yeah.
working very closely with the government and therefore, going into other sports also. But having said that, the kind of companies in health and nutrition and healthcare space as such are phenomenally growing. And this is a great time to be in this business because then you can cash on those companies who want to grow fast.
Yeah, no, I think this is your timing, your passion is pretty self-evident, and I've seen you do some of the crazy stuff. I still remember you standing on the ice jumping.
Yeah.
The unexpected photo shots that we got, right?
Yes.
But that so what where do we what will Kapil be doing 2 years from now?
3 years from now,
Yes, 2 or 3 years from now, what will Kapil be doing 3 years from now?
I'll be baking some. So I've already got 3 world records under my name. Idea is to make at least 10 world records. Idea is to create a company which is India's largest sports and events company. Idea is to have very credible, well-known marathons, at least 4 marathons in the country, which are like a really good marathon. And idea is to enjoy my life. I mean, I'll be enjoying my life and I like traveling and I like going and exploring different places. You'll see a lot of me enjoying myself and in that process, creating a lot of IPs, creating a lot of races, creating a lot of positivity in the environment I have, and of course, creating a lot of money for everyone, not for me, but for the entire ecosystem.
Brilliant. So looks like you've got your vision very, very, very clear, and the actions to that down as well. That's sort of really brilliant. So you talked about being very positive. Obviously, every journey has its ups and downs, and as a runner, we all hit that particular point where we need to motivate ourselves a bit more. We get runners high, but we also get runners block. What's been your secret to get over those down points? What motivates you? How do you keep yourself going?
I think it's a I the way I look at it as an athlete also that as an athlete I mean you've done so much of running yourself in it. There are times when you don't feel like doing it, but you still go ahead and do it. There are times you are injured. There are times things beyond your control, right? But you go ahead and do it. I've learned in life that you need to do your part, and rest, leave everything to a higher power. But give it your best, whatever you can do in your situation. I'll give you an example. I had a few years back, I could not run TMM, my favorite event, because I had injury in my ankle. And I was very kind of down because of the injury. I went to the doc and he said, "No, you cannot." So I said, "What is to be done?" And I realized, "Arey, but this is a great opportunity for me to learn a very high class swimming, because swimming I don't need. It's not a very impactful sport. Doesn't
Correct.
matter my ankle works or not."
It
So
actually is
I
good for
hired a
your healing. It's good for healing.
absolutely. So
Yeah.
I hired a swimming coach and we started swimming for endurance swimming. So I went and competed in the national championships swimming. So I became a very good swimmer after that episode. Right. So I think there's always a positive to something bad happening. Your mindset has to be evolved and be very adaptable, clear. You'll always find an opportunity.
And that's where RSR came in, running, swimming, and
Absolutely.
running, because you know
Yes.
you could do it as well.
Absolutely.
So
Absolutely.
are you very conscious, and do you have any routine to avoid injury? Because as I think you and I are
Yeah.
about the same age, so as we're getting
It,
older, we've
yeah.
got to become a bit
Yeah.
more conscious.
Of late, I've become very conscious. I have hired a new coach and I've become conscious about what I'm eating and what I'm eating before my workout and after my workout, what I'm eating before I go to sleep, the quality of food I'm eating, the quantity of the food and the timing of food. I think that's one change I've seen in last 6 months to 1 year. I'm very clear about what I'm eating. And also, I've ensured that my training schedule is well-defined. You know, I have my training schedule which my coach gives me, which is 1 month in advance. So I exactly know that today is Wednesday. What am I supposed to do today? I don't have to think. You know, I just have to open that Excel sheet and, acha, this is what I'm supposed to do. I go ahead and do. So I become more sorted, you can say. You know, exactly what is to be done, what is to be eaten, everything is sorted.
And did you get other members of your family on board as well into all the fitness routines?
They are. My wife is anyways very fit. She's a Zumba trainer, so she runs her own company, a dance company. So she is super active. And I've got a daughter. She is still in growing up. So she enjoys it, but I'm not, there's no pressure. She keeps herself fit by cycling and running and all. But I said, okay, you take it the way you like it. You know, there's, you don't need to get that pressure. Your dad runs marathon, you also have to run marathon. Aisa nahi hai. You enjoy the way you want.
As long as you stay fit. Right? Find your own ways to stay fit.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So this has been an awesome conversation. I know you wrote books. Are there any other books that inspire you that you can recommend to our listeners?
Sure. So a lot of books, you know, of late, yesterday I read a book which was very kind of simple, a simple book. I like simple books. Yeah. Yesterday I read a very interesting book and I want to recommend that book. It's called Buddha's Diet. You know, the book takes a call on what if there was Gautam Buddha was alive today, what kind of diet he would have chosen.
Wow.
And one thing which I learned, which is a very simple thing, which I'm going to implement and I'll suggest everybody should. They say you should always eat it, eat whatever you're eating. Your eating should be only within a span of 9 hours window in 24 hours. So
which is what we call intermittent fasting nowadays, right?
Yeah, it's a bit more affordable intermittent fast. It's not extreme. It's like kind of cool. Extreme is like people eat only 4 hours or 5 hours and 16 hours, they are starving. Aisa nahi hai. They are saying 9 hours, which I found it pretty reasonable. You know, and they say don't eat beyond 9 hours. If typically between sunrise and sunset. And you'll see a lot of health benefits there. And that's a good. And this is my first book I want to showcase. This is called Five Secrets. This was the first book I wrote, a very small book. This basically book tells you a very pointed five things which you must do to manage your time well. And you asked me about time management, right? So I did a lot of research there. I did a course, a study. You know, in fact, I did a Harvard course on time management because I realized this is a very important subject. If I can crack this, I can crack 100 things. You know, nobody teaches you this in school, but this is so important in our daily life. And therefore, I said, I'll write a book on this so that people can also benefit.
This is brilliant, Kapil. And I hope to run into you in some of these events soon.
Sure.
Don't forget mere mortals like us when you're running 100 different events.
sure.
Thank you so much for being on the podcast, Kapil. This has been awesome.
Thank you.
And I'm sure you're waiting to run outdoors now. You've been sitting inside.
Absolutely.
Thanks.
Thank you so much. Yes. Thank you so much, Vinay. Thanks. Bye.
Okay. So there you have it. That's Kapil. That's Kapil and his journey in from being a corporate soldier to being an entrepreneur. I so look forward to tracking him, seeing him at these events. You know, entrepreneurship is fun. It's a roller coaster ride. And I'm hoping and keeping my fingers crossed and wishing Kapil all the best and success in his endeavors. I hope you enjoyed this interview. Stay tuned, folks, for more like these to come in the next few weeks. Send us your feedback and stay in touch. Thanks so much. over and out.